Let us hear God's word. Reading first from Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then reading from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox or your donkey or any other animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you now. You have blessed us with the bread of the earth, but now, Heavenly Father, we have gathered for the bread of heaven. We have gathered to hear your word. So we ask that through your Holy Spirit, you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. The first lesson of any journalism student is always to remember that you must report who, what, when, where, and why. When you read the first paragraph of a newspaper or a magazine article, the who, what, when, where, and why should be stated clearly in that first paragraph. The opening paragraph of the article should give you that basic information. If it doesn't, then it's not a good journalist. But a good journalist will give you who, what, when, where, and why in the very first paragraph. Well, Moses is a good journalism student. He does not want our worship of God to be deficient. And in the first four commandments, we are told the who, what, when, where, and why of correct biblical worship. In the first commandment, we are told who we are to worship. And that is God and God only. You shall have no other gods before me. In the second commandment, we are told what not to do in worshiping God outwardly. We must not use images or idols or pictures. The nature of who God is cannot be contained in an image. In the third commandment, we are told why the worship of God must be without images. And that is because God is spirit. God is spirit. Therefore, we don't worship spirit with images. We worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, according to the name that he has given to us. And when we add to his revelation about himself, or we subtract from that revelation that he has given us of himself, then we take his name in vain. Also, the first three commandments together answer the where question. Where is God to be worshipped? And since the commandments are silent as to the place where God is to be worshipped, what we can understand then is that the right worship of God can be offered anywhere. This is all summed up in John chapter 4, where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. He says that God is spirit, and true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. And Jesus is calling her to rightly worship God according to the first three commandments. Who is to be worshipped? God alone. What is to be done? You worship in spirit, not with images. Because God is spirit, you cannot use an idol. God's name is truth, so you worship according to his revelation of himself as he has given us in the scriptures. And then Jesus even goes on to answer the question about where. And he says, not in any single location like Jerusalem or on the mountain in Samaria, but God can be worshipped rightly anywhere. Because God is spirit, you see. He is not confined to any one place. Thus, the summation of the first three commandments is who is to be worshipped, what is to be done in worship, why is it to be done in worship, and where can we worship? But the first three commandments are not exhaustive in their directions of worship. If all we had were the first three commandments, we would still be lacking in our knowledge of what true worship is and how we are to express our worship to God. Like the newspaper article, if all we knew was the who, what, where, and why, but we didn't know the when, then the newspaper article would be lacking in what it should do. So God, because he does not want our worship of him to be deficient, he has explained to us the who, what, where, why, and now the when as to he is to be worshipped. And that when question is just as important as all the other questions. And the answer to that when question is one day in seven is to be set aside exclusively to the worship of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord. God places a right order as to where and when he is to be worshipped. And to deviate from when he is to be worshipped is to commit a great sin. Even if you got the first three commandments right, if you didn't get the fourth commandment right, then our worship is deficient. Think about it this way. Suppose it is your responsibility to make a banquet for the king, okay? You are the chef to his royal majesty. And the king orders dinner of prime rib and all the fixings. And by the king's decree, that meal is to be served at 6 o'clock sharp on Friday. So you're the main cook. So you cook the prime rib and all the side items that you know the king wants. But you decide you're going to serve it on another day and at another time. And so from 3 o'clock Tuesday afternoon until 6 o'clock Friday evening, that meal has sat on the table without any refrigeration. And here on Friday at 6 o'clock, the king comes in and sits down and expects his banquet. Now, do you think he would be pleased with what you have done? You've done exactly what he said, except you have changed the day that he said it should be. Do you think that he would be pleased with that? No, we all understand the king would not take this as an indication of your devotion to him, but instead he would take it as a sign of your disrespect to him. He would see that you are exalting yourself what you want over what he has said. So then you see, to get the when question wrong displays a lack of love. And to then to forget it and not even try to do it is even worse. So in the same way, the worship you offer to God must be in accordance with what he says and in order of the time in which he says, or else what you offer is nothing more than rotten food. It's not love you offer to Christ, but rejection of him as king. And since Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, Sabbath breaking is a clear indication that one does not want to be ruled over by Christ. Now, why is the order of time, the when question, why is it so important in the right worship of God? Besides, hadn't Jesus already told the Samaritan woman that you could worship anywhere you want to? Anytime you want to? Yes, you can. But God has set aside a day, one day in seven, for corporate worship. You can worship at your home. You can pray at your home. You can read your Bibles. You can have a Bible study at your home. But on the seventh day, God's people are called to come together for corporate worship. Why is the when question so important? Well, God answers that for us when he gives us the command to worship on the Sabbath. He says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now I'm getting ready to throw you a curve, all right? Here it comes. Notice the Sabbath. Where was the Sabbath instituted? When did the Sabbath begin? Well, it was not with Moses on the mountainside getting the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath is talked about in the Ten Commandments, but that's not where it was established. In Exodus 16, when the people were grumbling that they didn't have anything to eat, God directed them. And he said, you go out and every day you pick enough of this manna, but on the sixth day you get a double portion because the next day is a Sabbath unto the Lord. But that's not where the Sabbath was established. Where was the observance of the observance of the Sabbath? Where did it begin? It didn't begin with the Ten Commandments. So where did it begin? Well, look again at the command. The Sabbath observance began at the dawn of creation. Sabbath observance began in paradise with God himself. Genesis chapter 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. No sooner were the heavens and the earth finished, and Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, God established the Sabbath day. What we find then is that the Sabbath observance is a creation ordinance, meaning that it is something that God gave to everyone, all those made in the image of God. He gave them these creation mandates, these creation observances and ordinances at the very beginning of time. It is something that is built in to the creation itself. Sabbath observance is woven into the fabric of creation just as much as family and marriage and work. Marriage and family and work, all of these are creation mandates, creation observances. When God created the world, He placed Adam and Eve together. See, that's marriage. He put them in the garden and commanded them to be fruitful. That's family. To have dominion over the earth. That's work. And to observe one day in seven as holy. That's the Sabbath. Now, think about this. Homosexuality is a sin, but it is such a sin that is unnatural because it rebels against the creation mandate. Not only does it go against the commandment that we will see in a couple weeks of thou shalt not commit adultery, but long before God gave that command, He had already established that homosexuality was a sin because it broke the creation mandate. Sabbath breaking is unnatural. It is sinful because it was established at the very beginning of time. The creation ordinances, you see, they take their example from the Creator Himself. The creation ordinances, or these creation mandates, are a part of what we are. When we are created in the image of God, things like marriage and family and work and Sabbath observance are all part of what we are, our makeup. And when we rebel against those very things, for a moment, let's just push the Ten Commandments to the side here. We're not rejecting them, but let's just put them to the side for a moment. When we reject the creation mandate, the creation ordinances, we are going against what we are. Our very being. Have you ever known somebody who... Well, let's just talk about voting. Sometimes people don't understand things, and so they end up voting for someone who is really against that person's best interest. When we break the creation mandates or the creation ordinances, we are going against what is in our best interest. We are going against our very selves. Because we are made in the image of God. And part of being made in the image of God is that we naturally want to worship. But because of sin, we don't stop worshiping. We just worship the wrong things. We worship sinful things. We worship ourselves. But you see, we don't stop worshiping. Because we are made in the image of God, we desire to worship. Sin directs our worship to sinful things. But from the very beginning, God has directed us to true worship. And part of that is observing the Sabbath day. See, God is in covenant, so man is to marry. God is fruitful, so man is to increase in number. And God continues to work even today. because he sustains the created order. So we too are to work at our calling that God has given us. And as God rested on the seventh day and blessed it and made it holy, so we are to do the very same thing. The Sabbath observance, as well as the creation mandates, rest upon divine example. When we honor the creation ordinances, we are imitating the character of God. We are displaying to the world what God is like. We are being what He has created us to be. All through the Scriptures, we find references to the Sabbath observance. Acts chapter 2, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, meaning the Sabbath day. Hebrews chapter 4, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, there remains a Sabbath rest for God's people. The human nature of Jesus Christ was made in the image of God, just as we are, except He was without sin. And guess what? Christ observed the Sabbath because God observed the Sabbath. And to correctly reflect the image of God, we too must observe the Sabbath day. The entrance of sin into the world did not change God's creation ordinances of marriage and family and work, nor does it change the creation mandate to set aside one day for the worship of God. Sin certainly has affected us in a negative way, but we are still called to be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, and keep the Sabbath day holy. What about you? Do you seek to keep the Sabbath day holy? Do you plan your life so that one day in seven is given to the Lord? Or are you so busy doing other things that the observance of the Sabbath day becomes low priority to you? Would you want God to consider you low priority? No, you wouldn't. Let's don't consider Christ being low priority by not observing the Sabbath day. Let us be what we have been created and now redeemed to be. Those who honor the Sabbath day. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies to us in Christ. We pray, heavenly Father, that through your word and the work of your Holy Spirit, you would impress upon us the importance of the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close our service this morning.